This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 514, down 1 3/4. July corn, 519, down 2 1/2. September corn, 513 1/4, down 3. May soybeans, 1530 3/4, up 6 3/4. July soybeans, 1512 3/4, down 4 1/2. August soybeans, 1440 3/4, down 2 1/4. May wheat, 713, up 5. July wheat, 721 1/2, up 5. September wheat, 729 3/4, up 5 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Corn was lower on the forecast of drier weather and an increase in the ethanol stocks. Soybeans were higher on tight supplies, and wheat gained on lower yield forecast by the wheat scouting tours in Kansas. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 489 to 514. Soybean bids were 2 to 6 cents higher at 1491 to 1529. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 481 to 512, and soybean bids were mixed at 1507 to 1536. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 4 cents lower at 497 to 530. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents lower at 1509 to 1540. Wheat bids were mixed at 683 to 721. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were a penny lower at 1538 to 1568. And high-pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $523.70 to $543.70 per ton. That was $5.50 to $9.50 higher, with the basis 3 to 7 cents higher at $30 to $50 over the July. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 8 to 13 cents lower at $518 to $525, with the basis 5 to 10 cents lower at 1 under to 6 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at 519 to 523, with the basis steady at 5 to 9 over the May. Soybeans ended 6 to 7 cents higher at 1531 to 1539, with the basis steady to 1 lower at option to 8 over the May. New wheat prices were 4 cents higher at 696 to 699, with the basis 1 cent lower at 23 to 26 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 543 to 546. These elevators raised their soybean prices 5 to 6 cents, with quotations of 1550 to 1563. Soft wheat closed mixed at 733 to 749, and Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 534 to 539. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In northern Illinois, corn ranged from 468 to 484. Soybeans were 1192 to 1227. And in the central part of the state, corn was 469 to 489, soybeans 1214 to 1230. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 475 to 490, soybeans 1212 to 1243, and wheat was 682 to 714. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $148.50, up $3. June live cattle, $137.20, up 17 cents. August live cattle, $136.07, down 5 cents. May feeder cattle, $181.20, up 62 cents. August feeder cattle, 187.47, up 92 cents. September feeder cattle, 187.97, up 92 cents. May lean hogs, 117.67, down $2.60. June lean hogs, 123.12, down $2.15. July lean hogs, 122.40, down $1.82. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the Wednesday, the 30th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 50 cents lower in the range of 104 to 111, with a weighted average carcass price of 107.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 78 to 90, 4 to 5 weights 84 to 92, 5 to 6 weights 86 to 94, and 600-pound sows and up were 88 to 96. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from 75 to 81. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,507 head. And now the report from the Fairview Livestock Auction held Tuesday, April 29th. They had receipts of 271 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. There were 149.25 to 154.50, select and choice 147 to 147.75, and select steers were 146.25 to 148. Choice slaughter heifers were 148 to 154, select and choice 143 to 147.75. Select heifers were 142.50 to 148.25. Now on to the slaughter cows. They had premium, average dressing 104.50 to 110, high dressing 113 to 126. Breaker cows were 95.25 to 99, and the high dressing 101 to 125. Boners were 86.25 to 90, with the high dressing 92 to 95. Leans were 75 to 75.75, and high dressing 82.75 to 85.75. On to slaughter bulls under 1,700 pounds. Average dressing 110 to 113.75 and high dressing 119.75. 1,700 pound bulls and up, average dressing 107.75 to 116.25 and high dressing 119.75 to 127.75. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 469 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, 115.80, and that was 73 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were 233.10, that was $1.26 lower, with select carcasses at 222.29, that was $1.87 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120, and that compared to 115,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 411,000, which compared to 418,000 last week and 416,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.19. May corn delivered to Scottville, $5.10. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.31. May beans delivered to Scottville, $15.20. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.13. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.19, corn at Scottville is $5.10, beans at Greenfield are $15.31, beans at Scottville are $15.20, and wheat at Scottville is $7.13. People may want to keep their eyes on the livestock markets this week. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, for more information.
Well, obviously in the cattle market, we're waiting to see where the cash emerges. The futures market continues to trade at a discount to the cash, although we're getting closer to that April contract expiration now this week. So those two are pulling together there. But as we look at the June contract, it's trading at a significant discount, with traders anticipating we're going to continue to see the cash slide lower. And based on what we're seeing in the way of profit margins or packer margins, as well as box beef prices overall, it's hard to build a case against that. The longer term, though, the cattle and feed report suggests that we're going to see tightening supplies as we get into the end of this year, later months of this year, and into early next year. And that's why we're seeing overall some greater strength in the contracts for those later months. As we look at the hog complex, we're really looking at kind of a tale of two scenarios there as well. Upfront supplies are more than adequate. We have large supplies in the freezer, and that's allowing retailers to be somewhat patient and paying up, and we're seeing product prices continue to decline, and with that movement is declining as retailers are allowing prices to come to them. The question is, how long will they allow that to happen? Because we've seen continued decline in slaughter-ready numbers of hogs due to PED virus, and those numbers of slaughter-ready hogs are expected to continue to decline into late summer and fall because of the disease. And so we're starting to realize now that those deferred contracts probably need to add more premium to them, reflecting tighter fundamentals as we get later in the year. At what point will the retailer start to grasp that and start to panic and start to buy up product once again and push prices higher? That's the question before the market.
So we're slowly starting to see what we would expect to see from having low numbers of both cattle and hogs out there in the industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the March 28th USDA quarterly hogs and pigs report, I think, gave the retailers kind of a false sense of security on how bad the problem is with the PED virus. Only time will tell, but based on industry reports, it would seem to say that the problem is probably worse than the picture painted by USDA, but we'll have to see.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Illinois has a rich farming history. To document that history, the Illinois Department of Agriculture is helping put out a historical farms book outlining the centennial and sesquicentennial farms of Illinois. Acclaim Press is the publishing company for the book. I spoke with editor Charlie Francis.
There will be a roster of every farm that has been recognized by the Department of Agriculture as a sesquicentennial or a centennial farm.
To qualify for centennial or sesquicentennial farm status, an agricultural property must have been owned by the same family of lineal or collateral descendants for at least 100 or 150 years, respectively. A lineal descendant is a person in the direct line of descent, such as a child or a grandchild. A collateral descendant is not a direct descendant, but is otherwise closely related, such as a brother, sister, uncle, aunt, nephew, niece, or cousin. But Francis wants to go beyond a roster of farms, which is why he's asking farmers to submit a 300-word essay and a picture of their farm.
That way we get the details, we get the backstories, we get the color in these stories, the hundreds that we've already received that have already been submitted. You can just read between the lines and read the pride, the heritage that's associated with these farms and just what it means to those families.
When you think about history, historic farms may not specifically come to mind. Francis went over some of the reasoning behind putting together a historic farms book.
It was a no-brainer to do it once we started talking about all the possibilities and things that we could do. We're just excited about this, not only from the historical standpoint, but it's one that we think is going to be very good for everyone. People are going to love what happens, what comes out of this book when they see it, and they're going to be very pleasantly surprised when they get it, I think, at how much book they're getting, because at this point, because of the participation we've received, we can project already this is going to be a book that's going to be between 400 or 500 pages and perhaps more.
With all the stories coming across his desk, Francis says it's been interesting to learn about each farm's history, and a couple stories have stood out in his mind.
I do remember at least one story of someone that was granted the land as a reward for service, I believe, in the War of 1812. And someone else's, I believe, their land grant was signed by the President of the United States at that time. I don't remember who it was.
But just because a farm doesn't have a historically significant start doesn't make their story any less interesting.
You get others that submit their stories, and they get a little more wordy and want to dig a little deeper into some of the color and the history behind the land. So they tell stories about great-great-grandpa and what kind of person he was and what kind of things he loved, and even about some of his more colorful aspects of his life that others might not tell, but it's a part of history, and they're happy to share that. And I think when people get the book, they're going to start reading some of these, and they're going to get lost in them. There's so much color is the best word that I can think of that goes with farming. It's not all about, as you and your listeners know, it's not all about acres and yields and things like that, but it's a lifestyle and it's a heritage that is so wrapped up with these. And it really does come out in the submissions that people send in.
One thing you may expect to see when putting together a historical farms book are some trends, such as geographical trends. But Francis says that's not the case.
It's all over the map. I mean, we get calls from everywhere, from all parts of the state. I don't know that there's any geographical connection. One of the things that I can say in relation to this, what we've noticed, there does seem to be, compared to other books that we've done like this, a little more excitement that comes from Illinois about this, and a lot of that has to do with there seems to be a special heritage there, a special pride that takes place in these families with their farms.
Francis says that this book is pushing people who have not already registered their farms as centennial or sesquicentennial farms to turn in their paperwork.
There are a lot of people that say, yeah, we've been eligible for a long time, but we've never put in our paperwork, but we want to go ahead and do this now because we want to be in the book. They want their farm history to be documented for generations to come. And we really think that this book is going to be the authoritative volume on family farming in Illinois for a good long while after its publication. And that's why we're not going to rush publication to the extent of beating a arbitrary date if it means leaving out ones in the book that wanted to be a part of it but maybe didn't have an opportunity to be a part of it because they didn't get their mailing.
For those with centennial or sesquicentennial farms who have not sent their information into the historical farms book but wish to, Francis gave some contact information.
Sure, the number to call is 877-427-2665. That's a toll-free number. Call your central time zone. Call anytime between 8 and 5 and someone will take your name and address down.
There are quite a few sesquicentennial and centennial farms right here in our listening area. I spoke with sesquicentennial farm owner Harriet Gibson.
Yes, I did submit an entry for my family. I know that my great-great-grandfather came to Hillsboro with his bride, Jane Carson Paisley, and he lived in Hillsboro for a while. He came in 1832 here, but I do know he bought the original 160 acres of the farm that I live on still in East Fork Township in 1849 near Donelson.
So you guys have a sesquicentennial farm.
Yes, we do.
Well, congratulations. And tell me a little bit about the history of your farm. It seems to be a direct descent farm, but what kind of farm is it? Livestock, grain?
Yes, mostly grain. We've always raised soybeans, wheat, and corn. I know my grandfather had sheep, and of course they've had cows and a few things. My grandmother raised turkeys at one point.
And back in the day when the farm was established, everyone had a little bit of everything on their farms.
Yes, uh-huh.
Why did you decide to submit your farm's story to the Historic Farms book?
Well, I'm an only child, and I'm the last in the five generations, and I'm living at the farm now, and it goes back, as I said, to my great-great-grandfather. The one I remember there is my grandfather, and there are pictures there of my great-grandfather and the children.
Now tell me a little bit about the farm itself. Are there still any original buildings left on the property?
The house is original. It's been changed over the years. My parents retired and came back to the farm in 1975, and they did some extensive remodeling of adding a family room and a new kitchen. And my husband and I moved out there almost 2 years ago. We've been doing some things to make it our own, but the original part of the house is still there. We're living in it now.
Wow. And what are some of the changes that the farm itself has undergone over the years? Being around since 1849, I can assume it's been through quite a few changes just because agriculture itself has changed so much.
My grandfather did the farming. When it passed down to my mother, she's had people do the farming for her, but there's really only been a couple of farmers over the years that have done the work. Mike Shelton has been the farmer for us for many years.
Very good.
It has grown from the original 160 acres to it's a 444 acres we can count now.
All right. Farms who are usually this old, they do need to grow over time to support the various families that have lived on them. Do you have a favorite story or favorite memory of this farm?
Well, it was always the place where I came in my summers. From the time I was third grade on, I came down and spent the summers with my grandfather and grandmother, Mabel and Harry Young. And my parents would join me at the end of the summer in August when Dad got his vacation from the National Bank of Detroit. They would come, but we'd come down at Christmases and Thanksgivings and Easters. Used to take the train a lot, the Wabash Cannonball, and get off in Litchfield. So I loved it as a kid. Had all my favorite spots. My mother, of course, I always heard about the farm. She was born there at the house, and so was my grandfather. So this was always the place that you came.
Definitely a lot of history there, and holidays and summers on the farms are always best, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And what looks to be the future of your guys' sesquicentennial farm?
Well, my husband and I are there now, and we hope to stay there for as long as we can. I have three stepchildren, and they enjoy coming to the farm. So we'll just have to see how it evolves. They wouldn't be a direct link, but maybe one of them will, or they'll take an interest in the farm, and maybe I'll have someone to pass it on to.
Well, hopefully it all works out. Is there anything else you want to add before we go here today?
Well, I thank you for inviting me, and I hope people that have a chance to participate in adding their story to the Illinois Department of Agriculture Centennial and Sesquicentennial Farm Book will do that.